the director of missions at my home church, Westwood Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. And I also was a missionary 30 years ago. I got to clue you all in on how I ended up standing in this place this morning. Would that be all right? Because if I have 10 minutes to preach, let's fit a 9-minute story in there, all right? I hope you all don't get, you want to be done at noon? It's going to be tough. Amen. That's right. We have a captive audience because the food's here, right? Somewhere over there. All right. Amen. Here we go. Let me tell this story. I just think it's so important. I have to let your pastor off the hook. Who is this strange guy you got in the pulpit? Well, it all started 30 years ago when I was on deputation getting ready to go to Romania as a missionary. I was up in the state of Maryland, and we were invited to go to the basement of a hotel and listen to a gospel group sing. Their name was the Rochesters. And that's when I got introduced to the Rochester family, and man, just fell in love with them, fell in love with the music. I had my kids all start singing that kind of music, and I said, man, I love these people. It ended up, for the next 20 years, our paths just kept crisscrossing. I'd do a conference, or I'd be somewhere, and they'd be singing there, and so we just hung out and became friends and really enjoyed them, and then Scott and Becky became real close to us, And we have been doing a lot of conferences together. As a matter of fact, our church has the Rochester family every year for our missions conference. And then Scott and Becky have been out traveling around, and all of a sudden one day this little upstart girl just showed up and started singing with them, playing the piano. Who are you? Well, you all know her. I didn't know her. It took me forever to win that girl over. I mean, she'd look at me sideways and then finally she came up with a name for me, and we've been best buddies ever since. I'm Mr. Doug. We have had a great time just being with them and being in a lot of conferences together, singing, and I absolutely love Macy's call of God, the gifts that God has given her, and I obviously see where the fountain it came from. Hallelujah. You folks have some kind of blessing here. Amen. Appreciate the singing. Love it. I feel the Spirit of God. Anyway, I basically think it was Macy's fault. She kept coming home and talking about Mr. Doug, and I'm not sure that this is even an invitation from him. It's more of a forced thing that Macy said, you're going to have him at the church. I'm not sure. I just kind of guess that's what happened. But needless to say, I'm so happy to be here, whether it was that or not, or you really genuinely wanted me to be here. That's yet to be seen. So I gave you an out, brother, just in case this doesn't work and I fall flat. You have an excuse. It's Macy's fault. All right, all that aside, I think genuinely what happened was that Macy heard me doing this thing at my church called 5 Minutes of Faith Promise. Every year she's been hearing it. And she says, you got to have him up there doing that. And I go, well, listen, I feel like a fish out of water here. You're a church that knows Faith Promise inside and out. 25-year anniversary, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We're in this together. My church is exactly like your church. I heard somebody say, you got a voice on every continent, and I was pretty thrilled by that. We have the same. We have missionaries on 6 continents. We haven't got to Antarctica yet. We're working on that. You're preaching to the penguins already? Yeah. Got a voice. Just kidding. But we have the same, lifeblood. It's what makes the church heart beat and go is mission work, and getting out there and getting the gospel out to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so being a part of that has been so exciting over the years. And anyway, my church, after I established churches in Romania, they asked me to come back and be the director of missions. So I'm in the same position as your beloved brother Tommy back there, the director of missions in my church. And over the years, now it's like 40 years of hearing this, I've heard preachers preach Faith Promise. I've been through every conference. I've been through all the teaching and preaching. And I've listened and always just believed what everybody said and taught me, until finally, just recently, I started taking a look at it for myself. I said, you know, because there's a lot of debate. There's a lot of discussion about faith promise and how you do it and what do you do it. And is it some magical formula that God will give through you what he won't give to you? And I've heard all these catchphrases, you know, and I finally started, I need to look at this myself and find out what the Word of God really says about it. So I know this is so presumptuous coming to a church like this and actually teaching faith promise again to a church that already knows faith promise and put it into practice. But I'm asking you, I just would implore you to please open your hearts and minds and just look at it from a fresh perspective, if you will. All right? I just want to look at this from the view of Scripture. It just radically changed my whole view of faith promise. And I got excited about giving and being a part of faith promise mission giving. It is the lifeblood of the church. I mean, we've got to go. That's the command, to get out of here and go. We worship while we're here and we serve when we leave the doors. And that's the going is when we leave here. And I love the spirit you have here. And I love this attitude of missions that you have here. So if you will, just with me, I know these are familiar passages of Scripture, familiar territory, but we're going to look at it with a fresh light, all right? So you probably even know where this is, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. We're going to look at this very detailed. We're going to delve into this and just let the Spirit of God touch your hearts again about why you give, why you participate, and how much you should participate, and what this is all about. What is faith promises all about? So looking at it with a fresh light, let's start in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul writing to the church of Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And I need to stop right there because sometimes those are weird. That's kind of a strange phrase, "we do you to wit." But I think you get it, right? I just want to make it known to you. I want to really let you in on something exciting for me. You know, something that's really interesting, something that I've gotten involved in, I'm personally involved in, and I want to let you know, I want to just inform you of the grace of God that has been bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. So right here, you've been introduced already to the subject and to what this is all about. And this is where I changed my whole thinking from faith promise to grace giving. You've heard both those phrases, I'm sure. But this really, the subject here is the grace. The grace of God is the catalyst for all the giving. You ever stop and just look at it? It really is. It's all about God. God gave us, it's his grace that's bestowed on us that allows us to participate in giving to the mission outreach program of this church. So he said, I do you to wit. I just want to inform you. I just want to let you know about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Listen, let's just stop there again. Did you see how many times grace was mentioned already in the passage? It's about grace. Grace is the subject. Grace. And before we even get into this deep, let's just get something straight. The Scripture is very clear about giving. And I know you have it written in your bulletin. I know it's written on your faith promise card. There is a very, very detailed passage that explains the tithe is the Lord's. That's 10% that we owe back to the Lord. That has nothing to do with mission giving. Nothing to do with the mission outreach program of this church. That's to keep this church functioning, pay the bills, pay the preacher, pay the everything. The tithe takes care of the Lord's church. And it's the Lord's. That's not even a question. You don't even have a debate with God over whether you owe that or not or should give that. That's rough going right there. That's rough plowing, isn't it? But I'm here. I'll do the. Listen, we all are responsible to give a tithe to the Lord. to keep this church functioning. All right. So I think you all understand that. There's no debate there. There is a second type of giving mentioned in Scripture. It's called the love offering, called the free will offering. That is an offering above your tithe that you give for occasions like having singing groups come through or some kind of outreach program you have, and you all take up an offering to fund that, or benevolent offerings that fund poor, the poor you have with you always. You got to take care of them too. Those kind of offerings are free will offerings, and they're above the tithe. That's not supposed to come out of the tithe. Amen. I got a couple of you, right? I know this is tough plowing in this area, because people don't like to talk about giving and talk about money in church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this is our Lord and His grace that's been bestowed upon us. We're saved by the grace of God through faith and through His Son, Jesus Christ, death on the cross. Hallelujah. I am saved. I'm a child of the King. I'm on my way to glory. I got my ticket punched. But I'm supposed to be busy doing something while I'm here, not just waiting on the train, right? So we're getting excited about doing something. Well, what is that doing? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here it is. We have come to it in this section of Scripture. We're not talking about the tithe. We're not talking about free will or love offerings here. We're talking about a separate offering, some kind of gift that was given to the missionaries to carry out the command of Christ, to the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They're taking care. And this was a missionary entourage, by the way, just in case you know, you haven't been filled in on this. There were sometimes up to 15 people in these missionary groups. And we got a couple here and a couple here. And I was a couple and dragging my four kids to Romania. And everybody's scared. I heard the same stories, brother. You know, well, how dare you drag them little ones over that third world country. And my little boy was sick. And we had all kinds of issues, you know. But it just comes back to, I trust, you got to trust God. Doctors didn't have an answer. They didn't have any answer for my little boy. And he's just sick all the time. And we didn't know what to do. And I just cried out to God, I don't know what to do. I know you called me and I'm on deputation and I got to go. The doctors don't have any idea what's wrong with this boy. I'm going to trust you. You're the great physician. I mean, he was having trouble eating, swallowing. He had a lazy swallow. He was swallowing liquid in his lungs and aspirating it and getting pneumonia all the time. He was just all the time sick. And I said, and they didn't have an answer. Oh, we just don't know. Well, good. I know somebody that does. We're going. And I did. And I packed up and we went to Romania. And from day one, hit the ground. He started eating and keeping it down. And he got healthy. And he's crazy as a lark today, man. He's a good boy. Super gifted, same thing, talented, like all you folks around here, musically inclined and all that. And I'm just praising the Lord for him. You just trust God. You put your feet to it and go, and you just do this stuff. And I'm, you know, and so anyway, we're looking at faith promise and what fuels it. And this third type of giving, which is mentioned here, and he really called it grace. He said that the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, and to their power, listen, he said, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. So you know he's talking about they gave something. They were in poverty. These were not rich churches, didn't have a superabundance and left over, and hey, yeah, we ought to give a few percentage over here. That's the discussion today in almost all the churches, how much can we afford? And that's not what it's about. You look at the source. How much can we not afford? I mean, I'm not going to spit in the face of God saying, you haven't been good enough to me. Man, he's blessed me above all measure, abundantly. And I don't care in what affliction I'm in or in trial of affliction. This is why it's an example to us. The churches of Macedonia are our example. Yes, we're all facing trials. Yes, we all face problems. We got issues and we can barely make ends meet, right? Can't pay the bills. Some of us still here, or is this just a totally rich society here? I'm living in the wrong place. I need to move up here, y'all. No, we got it made, brother. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, listen, you have a perfect example right before you in Scripture of churches that had troubles and trials and afflictions, deep poverty. And yet, in the same breath, it said, their liberality abounded. Riches. They just gave And seemingly from he didn't know where. He said, to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And so there it is. It's in a nutshell. I know you've seen it. I know you know this by the back of your hand. But now I want you to look at something that I never saw before, never paid attention to this. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That just reminds me of, you know, that story of the little boy. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but I mean, it always impresses me when I think about it. But somebody told me this story about a little boy. He was poor, a little boy. He didn't have anything, didn't have any money, didn't have anything. But he kept coming to church, you know, and he watched as the offering plate kept coming around. You know, you come and you guys kind of stuff that thing right in my face and make you feel a little bit. And anyway, I know how that happens, but you come walking by, right? And you're walking down the aisle and the offering plate, and that little boy wanted so bad to put something in the offering plate, but reaching those pockets, they're dead, empty. He ain't got a penny. He ain't got nothing. He ain't nothing. He looks at the usher and he says, lower it down. The usher lowered it down. No, a little lower. Put it down here, a little lower. And he went on down, put it on the floor. We put it on the floor, and the little boy got up and stepped in the offering plate.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what he's talking about? We really, literally need to give ourselves first before we talk about money and finances and all this stuff. You have to give yourself to the Lord. I mean, it's just being involved. God gave you talents and abilities to use for His honor and glory. You got to get involved. Give them to Him. I mean, we've got Brother Tommy back there that just pulled up stakes in 5 years, went to 21 different countries, and Ms. Myra, and amen, and just did what he could do to help missionaries. That's a pretty extreme example, isn't it? Giving yourself first. How about it? Got any other volunteers? Have you ever stopped to think maybe God just wants you to do that? Go visit and encourage somebody. Somebody even close by, you don't have to go to the foreign country. Get out here, encourage. Don't just sit in your own little comfort zone in your own little world and me, mine, and that's all that matters. I'm telling you, I think that's what's going on, and we're not seeing the bigger, broader picture. We're all called for a reason. We're all here for a reason, and God has given us gifts and talents. He wants you to offer yourself first. If you offer yourself, then the other stuff will come. I mean, you won't have any problem doling out something to help somebody get a need met. You really won't, because you're already involved. So he said, you offer yourselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of the ministry. And this they did. I already read that. Verse 5. Now verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So he's talking to the church at Corinth saying, this grace thing is real. It happened to all the churches of Macedonia. They sent us a gift so that we could carry out the ministering of the saints. He said, I want this same grace to be. Titus is on his way to see you, Corinth. Morning Star. Titus is here. And he's going to tell you something. It's really exciting news. There's some good news. Therefore, and this just blew me away, verse 7. I don't know if you've ever looked at this or even saw it in this light, but look at this, please, with me. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, and he listed them, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Never paid attention to the meaning of that. But you know what he just put? He put grace giving. He put the faith promise mission gift on an equal level with your faith, with your learning, with your preaching and teaching. Listen, with all diligence, with your excitement and energy that you put into every program in this church. And some people get really excited about this. They get out there and early in the morning put tablecloths on tables and then run out and fight with each other. I was just privy to a little scene this morning. We ran out. What do we got to pick a table? They were excited. There was some diligence back there. I don't know if you all are in here. I don't see any faces. I hope I didn't pick on anybody. Okay. Seriously, I mean, people get excited about all kinds of things, and some things that excite me, I was just like Brother Zach, and I got excited about a young age, and I want to go to a foreign field. That was me. My call was immediate. The moment I realized that God was calling me to a preacher, I said, you're going to call me to a foreign country, too, because for some reason, I just had this desire to travel. I want to get and go where nobody's told the gospel before. I want to go to those far reaches, you know, and everybody look at you crazy, like some of you are looking at me. Go on, brother. More you. I'm going to stay right here. I ain't leaving home. You know, and that's good. That's why we have diverse callings. Not all of us are called to go. But ones that are, man, we ought to pray and get behind them, right? And so, you know, I had that same feeling, that same calling, and I got all excited. Well, you focus so much on that, sometimes you forget that everything's equal. He said, as much concentration as you give to your faith, and don't you all work on your faith? Amen. Don't you want your faith to be increased? Amen. Oh, ye of little faith. Come on, Jesus talked to him all the time. I mean, your faith is lacking. Work on the faith. But in the same time you're working on faith, you work on this knowledge too. Don't you want to learn more about God and more about His Word, spend more time in the Word? Boy, that's kind of weak. Does anybody want to learn about God here? Don't you want to increase your knowledge? Faith, and how about your utterance? Those preachers and teachers and all those people that utter and the Word of God, don't you want to be better at it? Don't you want to increase and learn and grow and be better? Well, the same effort you put into your faith and your utterance and your knowledge. And then how about in diligence and getting out there and doing it? And in your love to missionaries, love to us, love to servants. Do you have that love, don't you? You demonstrate it. You give. The same effort you put into faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence and love towards the mission field, you ought to put into your faith promise giving too. I had never seen that before. Never seen it that those are on equal level. They're of the same. The same. Man, if I spend hours in the Word, I ought to spend hours figuring out how I'm going to give and who I'm going to give to. Because that's important to God. He said, make that the same that you abound in this grace also. Wow. It is good. It's like, what more can I do? I already give, brother. I give till it hurts. Can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. Come on, I'm where you are. I sit where you are. I deal with this all the time. I hear all of this. I know that now another guy up here telling you, you got to give. Yeah. I get tired of those guys too, you know. Go ahead. But I'm so seriously, when I looked into it personally, this is what I started seeing. Nobody else taught me these things. You know, I didn't see verse 7 before. I just never saw it. Everybody skipped that. But he literally said, give the same effort, the same love, the same desire into your faith and knowledge and utterance and love. All of that should be equal with your grace giving. And that just blew me away. I said, wow, I don't think I do that. I think my grace giving is kind of like, I just don't know how we're going to do it, honey, but all right. They need something written on this paper. Am I not alone in that? Or these things got handed out, didn't they? And what's the conversation going to be? I don't have a secret camera. I just know because we're all the same. But some of us have experienced the hand of God in our life, and we're excited about the paper coming. Man, let me try them a little bit more this year. Let me just put something a little bigger and see how his grace is going to abound because ours is abounding. I learned more about God this year. I've talked more. I'm out witnessing more. So I'm going to give more. How does that all be equal? That's what that verse says. Man, it just totally made me look at this from a whole different light. Yes, I need to be just as excited about my grace giving Is this my faith increasing and my knowledge increasing and learning to talk more about God? I need to give more. Can we just stop right there? Is that a good note to just let you chaw on? Work on that. What's going to happen here is we're going to just continue verse by verse through this whole section for the next four services. If that's all right, I want you to come back, and I want you, because it's going to get gooder and gooder. It is. This Bible is incredible. The Word of God is so rich and so full of explanation. Let's just park it right there and think about that for a moment. Just mull over that. Is my grace giving equivalent to my faith growing, knowledge learning, speech uttering, and love for the mission work? Is it equivalent? Is it the same? Is it on the same level? And if not, I think that's where you ought to start working on. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for an invitation, as the musicians come, and as we ponder these words that have already been spoken from your word, Lord, you put it in there for a reason. I know you let Paul write this to encourage those godly folks at Corinth. But I want us to be encouraged this morning that to look at this in a new light, that it is not a drudgery, that it is not something that's we have to fret over or get anxious over. It's just the opposite. That as excited as we are about growing in faith and knowledge, we should be excited about the opportunity to give by grace, by your grace, to the outreach programs of this church. Help us to get more involved, or at least do the best we can do with the joy that's in our heart, no matter the afflictions and the trials and the tribulations that we face. Lord, help us to remember and to focus on the fact that the outreach program of this church is your lifeblood. It's your heartbeat. It's what you asked for. It's what you longed for. It's what you commanded us to do, is to go into all the world. And this is only possible when we all participate in the grace-giving program of this church. Help us. Guide us. Touch us with the Holy Spirit as we make decisions, considering what gift we will give this year. And we'll just ask you to bless as only you can. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Altars are open. Whatever you feel the need to come forward, pastor will probably be up front here.